peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day found in Proverbs 25. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. This is our text. Your people of God, the point of a proverb is to teach a point of wisdom in a short, memorable fashion. Our world is full of proverbs. Once you pour the water out of the bucket, it's hard to get it back in. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. After all is said and done, more is said than done. When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And then what I found for the first time that I kind of liked, the cemeteries are filled with people who thought the world couldn't get along without them. Jesus also spoke in Proverbs as he taught his people. And I wonder if everybody knows that these Proverbs are from Jesus first. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. The book of Proverbs are Proverbs of Solomon, ones that he wrote or that other people wrote as they listened to him. And our text is Proverbs 25, which has some pretty good ones in it. Here's a few of them. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The Proverbs in the Bible were written to help us. They were written to show us the mind of God, show us what God sees as valuable. And our proverb before us this morning would teach us how much God values humility. The Lord loves the humble believer. Now this proverb about taking the lower seat and not desiring the higher seat, is not just the will of God. This is just plain good advice. Every non-Christian in the world should heed this, and they would be much happier also. Have you seen it happen? I've seen it. At a wedding, a very important person took one of the non-assigned seats with the rest of us, and the bride would not let the dinner begin until that person was ushered up in front of everyone and placed in a seat of honor. Could you imagine if you had taken that other seat and were told to move? You would feel about this big. This is really good advice. Take the lower seat and then be ushered forward. Much better than assuming the important seat and being told where to go. But the Bible is not a how-to book instructing us on the norms of the day, giving us advice on what we should do or not do, depending on the situation or the spirit of the times. This is also God's holy word, telling us the truths that the Lord wants us to know and take to heart. The Lord really wants us to be people of humility. See, humility is not just a fine quality to have. Humility is essential in being a Christian. Because one day, all of us will have to stand in front of the Almighty. And when we do, we need to stand there properly in humility and so be saved. Most people will try to stand in front of the Lord on the last day, clinging to their own accomplishments. Like the rich young man who went to Jesus one day and asked him, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus told him, "Keep the commandments." And the man said, "I have." That person has no hope when he will have to stand in front of the Lord one day and account for his life, because no one has kept the commandments of the Lord up to the Lord's standards, which are holiness and perfection. Even one slip up, one mistake, disqualifies a sinner from entering into God's perfect paradise. For the Lord cannot have his kingdom soiled by even one sin. And like the disciples who wondered after that encounter with the rich young man, who then can be saved? So we also despair as we realize that Jesus is talking about us too. If the really good people can't get into heaven, what hope do the rest of us sinners have? Well, that's where this humility becomes so important. To get into heaven, we have to put ourselves aside and plead before God, "Oh Lord, do not look at my accomplishments. Do not look at my life, for it is full of nothing but failure and sin. Lord, I stand in front of you only in Jesus Christ. Look at his life. Look at his sufferings, his death, his resurrection. Look at the life of your Son, O Lord. For his is the name that I plead. Do not look at my accomplishments, because I have done nothing to help my chances to get into heaven. I have done nothing but ruin my chances. But Jesus' blood covers me. Jesus' blood cries out for me. I am covered in Jesus' righteousness, not my own. I stand alone in the name of Jesus. Have mercy on me." Such a person will be welcomed into the glories of heaven, because such a person has put aside his pride, put aside his self, his own accomplishments. Such a person will be welcomed into the kingdom of God, because that person is holy in Jesus. Not in himself, but through faith alone in what Christ has done for him. Do you see how important this humility stuff is? It's not just supposed to be a part of our lives. It is supposed to be our lives. How many people do you know that talk that way? Just look at Facebook. How many people on Facebook are saying, "Not my accomplishments, but look to Jesus alone"? Or is there rather boasting on Facebook, where people say, "Look at me, I've got life all figured out. The rest of you should be more like me and my family"? This false boasting is everywhere around us, and not just on the internet. Just look at sports. Sports are no longer about the team. It's all about me and my accomplishments. He preys on me. Business, not that it ever was, but business is not about how can I help you, the customer, but how can I take advantage of you, the customer. and fill my coffers with gold? Or how about at the bar? How much has this world missed out on because they just would not listen to the genius down at the end of the bar who knows it all and could fix the world if everyone would just listen to him? Humility is a rare thing in this world. Not only does it, as the first part of faith, save us in Jesus' name alone, but humility also can identify us out in the world. You know, the early Christians were not known for their great intelligence. They were not known because they built any great cathedrals. The early Christians shocked the world because they loved one another. And they actually cared for one another. They treated fellow Christians as if their needs were more important than their own. It's almost as if the early Christians actually listened to the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Philippians, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other." Cleanliness is not next to godliness. Humility is. For no one humiliated themselves like God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who left the perfection and paradise of heaven to come into this world, to suffer in our place, and to save our souls. Do you want to be like God? Humble yourself. Do you want to be with God? Humble yourself. Do you want to show God, your Savior, to the world? Then humble yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Amen.